Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 8 through 18. I'll try to stand to the side so I won't block the screen this morning. And let's look at the Word of God just for a moment. And he said, that's the Lord Jesus, by the way. He's preaching one of his last sermons on the way to Calvary. And he said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to meditate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and with all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you they shall cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. Praise be unto God for the reading and the hearing of his precious and his eternal word. That could be, as we say in the country here, a scary scripture, couldn't it? That could be the kind of thing that would set you on your ear and would make you sit up and take notice. I would hope that it would have that effect. Not so much to scare you, not so much to terrify you of life or anything like that, but to make you be sober, make you be aware to look and see what's happening. And he talks about two things. There's going to be global troubles. The whole world's going to share in it. And there's going to be personal troubles that you'll have to share in for your own self. And I look at all the things that he lists that's going to happen. False religions. Some are going to come saying, I am Christ. Some are going to say, Christ is already over here. And there's all kinds of ideas and philosophies and theologies to be put forth about the Lord. Let me tell you something, folks. Go to the source. God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom and his sovereign grace, has provided for us a written record of what we are to believe. We don't need to take men's philosophies for it. Just because you got a PhD at the end of your name, or just because you happen to be pretty smart and can do a lot of things, doesn't mean you have the right to dictate the plan of salvation. The only getting place is at Calvary. The only place to receive salvation is through the Lord Jesus. And my brothers and sisters, we need to trim our theology down to what the Bible says. Now, not only that, he talks about there's not just going to be those things happen, but it's going to be things in the physical world that's going to happen, like earthquakes, great earthquakes in diverse places. And let me tell you, folks, I just thought about this as I was thinking about this last evening. I never see this statistic put out, but if you could see every day on your screen, sort of like the thing for the virus, If you could see a statistical rundown of every earthquake that happened every day, it would shake you in your boots. I mean, they are happening all the time. And I read a statistic a few years ago, 600 times as many earthquakes happen today yearly as did when Columbus came to America from the old world. So they have increased. It is happening. And famines is nothing new in the world, but you would think with all of our modern chemicals, fertilizers and pesticides, all of our modern tractors and instruments of work that we have, that no one would be without food. You say, well, I can't see that anybody's without food. Why, just look at us. Well, yeah, just look at us. But that's us. You live in Virginia, in America. If you were around the world, if you could take all of the food that's going to be consumed today and divide it equally with all the people that's in the world, you wouldn't have any supper coming to you. You probably wouldn't have any lunch coming to you, but you'd have to be satisfied with whatever you called breakfast this morning. You say, really? Yeah, really. So when we talk about famines, we're talking about times not only when we can't grow the food because it's dry or because of the natural disasters or whatever happens, but we're talking about there's just not enough food grown in the world to spread around, and we need to think about that. And then there are the pestilences. You say, pestilences? Yeah, I think we decided to do it all this year from the locust on down. We had the locust, we had the virus, and folks, you don't know what's going to happen before this year's out. I mean, you don't know what turn this is going to take when the influenza gets out. I mean, I read about this morning an epidemic in China many years ago. 830 million people died in China. Almost all the people there died. During the bubonic plague, a third of the population of Europe died. And you say, well, that can't happen in our day and time. Listen, folks, I don't know, has anybody in here seen a case of diphtheria? A bona fide case of diphtheria? Probably not. But in my grandmother's time, it was a terror. They were terrified that the children were going to get the diphtheria and going to take them down. Now, well, we get antibiotics, we get things, we cure the diphtheria. When we were little, our parents went to bed every night with the fear on them that the polio would invade our homes. And how it stalked these hills and valleys, and little children were deprived of their legs and arms, and a whole bunch of them passed away in the polio epidemic. Well, I remember distinctly the day Dr. Carr and Dr. Newton came to the elementary school at Narrows, and they lined us all up and gave us all a shot whether we wanted it or not. And they killed the polio epidemic. I mean, they stopped it. You say, well, that's all good things. And I hope before the end of this year they can have a vaccine for the virus. I hope they can. But it's not going to stop, folks. It's not going to stop the pestilences that have come on the world. I mean, one's following the other. If you paid attention, we just haven't been so affected in America as we are this time. But you had the SARS epidemic. You had the HIV epidemic. You had all kinds of epidemics that's gone on within the lifetime of people here. And terrible plagues going on in Egypt and Africa and those places like that. And brothers and sisters, you look at this, and then he said, and then fearful sights and great signs from heaven. Wow. Think about it. Think about it, folks. Now, those are the global things. Those are affecting every person in the world. And we all have to go through it, all the nations, all the people. But then there are other things. They're going to lay hands on you. That's personal. They're going to lay hands on you. And what are they going to do when they lay hands on you? They're going to persecute you. They're going to put you in prison. Your kinfolks, even your parents maybe, people that you love and care about are going to betray you and testify against you, and you'll be hauled into court. You'll be hauled into somewhere because of the hatred that the people had, and you'll be hated. You'll be hated. Why? For the name of Jesus. And you say, oh, that's a... Honey, where have you been the last 2 or 3 years? Have you not paid attention that there is a current flowing through society in America that's against the Lord Jesus Christ, against His plan of salvation, against His holy people, the Church of the Living God? Brothers and sisters, can't you see how that's working and how that's moving and how that people have come to hate? You know, you can get away with mentioning something from the Quran a whole lot quicker in America than you can get away with mentioning something from the Bible. You can mention getting something from the Vedas or from the writings of Buddha a whole lot quicker and easier than you can get away with quoting something from the Bible. And long ago, we put our teachers in the classrooms, Christianity in handcuffs, and tied them down so they cannot teach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, when you look at this, it's hard to believe then that Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's hard to believe then when I listen to Jesus talking and Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not the peace that the world gives, give I unto thee. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We hear Him say those things, and then we turn the coin over and listen to Him some more, and you know what He said? He said, think not that I am come to spread peace upon the earth. Think not that I am come to spread peace. You say, but that's what the angel said when he was born. Yes, they did, my friends. But I have to tell you, you got to put it in the perspective that it goes in. He has brought to us peace between God and man. Men no longer have to be in a fight with God. Men no longer have to be in a confrontational relationship with God. We can call Him Abba, Father. We can call Him Daddy. We can sit on His lap. We can hold Him and love Him and care for Him. And I mean, we go to prayer. How many times have you heard anybody go to prayer and say, sweet Jesus? How many times have you heard anybody go to prayer and say, dear Jesus? That's the way my mother always began the prayers that she taught me to pray, or the prayers at the table, was dear Jesus. Wow, can we call Him dear? Can we call Him precious? We even sing about, take my hand, precious Lord. Lead me on, let me stand. Brothers and sisters, we can have this peace with God. We can have this love with God. We can have this joy with God. But I'm telling you that in the midst of all of this, you have to think what they're going to do. They're going to what? Persecute you, lay their hands on you, put you in prison, testify against you, betray you, and hate you. Do you know I left out one when I read that before just now? Do you realize I left out one just now? There was one more thing. And they shall put some of you to death. Somebody has paid a price for this gospel to go around the world. I'll never forget when Ward was graduating at Piedmont Baptist College or whatever it was then in Winston-Salem. And we were there, and unbeknownst to them or us, we didn't know we were going to have a visitor that day. And the visitor was a missionary from the Amazon. If you remember that story, maybe you saw it in the news. They were landing the plane on the Amazon River to bring missionaries back into the hinter country of Brazil. And into the jungles. And as they went to land, they shot him out of the air, and the missionary's wife was killed. And he turned up at the meeting that day in Winston-Salem and stood up and testified and told us what happened. I was touched to tears, literally, when they said, "Who will take her place on the mission field?" And 50-some young people stood up and walked forward and stood there. Thank God for young people who will take that challenge. Thank God for young people who will take that calling. But my friend, I trust those people are going to be saved down in the Amazon. But somebody paid a price. This husband paid a price of losing his wife. This wife paid with her own life for the gospel to get out into the Amazon and to touch those people. There's a story about some people who were down there, and they were attacking the missionaries, and they discovered that the reason they left them alone was because they could see a force around them that even the missionaries could not see, but it was the angels of God that had come to protect them. The early Christians, we have only to look back at them and realize what a price they paid for the gospel to be here in Clendenin and Hollow this morning. You think about Stephen. He was a young man. He was a healthy man. He was an intelligent man. He was a good man. I mean, he's the kind of citizen that every country and every town and every city should want in it. Stephen was a student of the Scripture, knowledgeable in the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, and living a decent, a good, and a holy life. And yet, there came the day when the question of his faith came up, and they did what? They laid hands on him. They drug him into prison and into court and testified against him. And you say, and what was his defense? Well, he took Jesus at his word. He didn't call his lawyers and say, "You all need to get over here and get rid of habeas corpus and get me out of here." He didn't say, "You all need to do this." He stood up, and what did Jesus say? "I've given you a mouth." You say, "I don't know if I can witness for the Lord or not." Jesus said, "I've given you a mouth." Did you catch that when I read it? "I've given you a mouth, and I'll give you the wisdom what to say with that mouth." And when Stephen stood up and began to tell them from their own history, from their own times past, what God had done and what God would do. And when he told them about Jesus, in the end, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They ran on him in their hatred. They grabbed him and drug him out of the city to a cliff and threw him over the cliff and threw rocks at him till they killed him. But as they killed him, he raised up among the rocks and looked up to heaven, and he said, "I see Jesus." Hallelujah. "I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God." Oh, my brothers and sisters, what it must be to be over yonder. I think about the Apostle Paul, what all he went through with. You know what Jesus said to him when he got saved? He said, "I'll show you what great things you must suffer for my name's sake." You see, sometimes we want to tell people, "Oh, it's so easy to be a Christian." Let me tell you something about being a Christian. It ain't for sissies. It ain't for sissies. You say, "I want to be a strong man," then be a Christian man, because it'll take everything you've got and all that God's got to keep you through the ages. Listen, my friend, Stephen, Paul, you say, "Well, what happened to Paul?" Why, he had a successful ministry. Preached all over the Middle East and some of the western part, we believe even over into Spain. And you say, "Well, that's wonderful." Yes. And in the end, he walked out to a Roman chopping block and laid his head down, and they cut his head off. He gave everything he had for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Tradition tells us that Peter, when they took him out and were going to crucify him in Rome, said he was not worthy to be crucified like his Lord. Would they turn him upside down? So they crucified him with his feet up and his head down. We look at James, the elder of the church in Jerusalem. And they took him out and they beheaded him and was going to do more if they could. I think about how many Christians in Rome during Domitian and Nero who were taken to the gardens in the Colosseum. We go over there today and we tour Rome and Italy, and we look at that great Colosseum that held thousands, and their entertainment was people dying, lions and dogs and wild animals tearing bodies apart. Their entertainment was lit up at night because they put Christians on posts and wrapped them in rags and tar and set them afire and burned them alive. And they died shouting and singing the praises of God. I think about ever since. You see, the 21st chapter of Luke that I read to you from is the companion to the 24th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And when I look at this and I see this terrible thing that he's showing us, the way the ages are going to go, it hasn't changed, folks. It hasn't changed. Christians are being persecuted and dying today the same as they were in those days. You see, you have to say, well, then I don't know if I want to be a Christian. If they're going to put me in jail and they're going to kill me, they're going to do all these things to me, I don't know, is it worth it to be a Christian? Is it worth it to be a child of God? If this is what's going to happen to us, we might ask that question. But I have to tell you one thing. It's the most wonderful thing in this chapter. This chapter could discourage you. This chapter could scare you. This chapter could be a great burden to you. But let me tell you something. There's something in this chapter that's wonderful. It says they're going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. They're going to beat you. They're going to put you in prison. And they're going to kill you. But don't worry about it. Nothing's lost. Not one hair of your head shall perish. Listen to that. Not Jesus said it. Not one hair of your head shall perish. Now, is he talking about in this life? No, he's not. If he was, he wouldn't have said all that other stuff he said. If he was not going to let one hair of your head perish in this life, then he wouldn't have had to said all that other stuff. He'd have said, I'm going to send the angels and set you free every time something comes up. But that isn't the way it happened. So when we look at it, we have to say, do you mean when Stephen died, that wasn't the end of him? That's what I mean. Do you mean when they cut Paul's head off, that wasn't the end of it? That's what I mean. Do you mean when they crucified Peter upside down and took him down and put him in a grave, that wasn't the end of Peter? That's exactly what I mean. Do you mean all those Christians that burned in Nero's gardens and Domitian's gardens? Do you really mean that all of those people are not lost? No, honey, they're not lost. Their spirits have gone to be with Jesus, and one day Jesus is coming back. And when he comes, my friend, the dust is going to sing, the book of Daniel says, and the graves are going to be open. And these people that have died for the Lord, and every Christian who ever died for the Lord, is going to resurrect in that resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise. And they'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. They'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, but raised in power, ready to live in paradise. Hallelujah. You say, well, that's hard to believe. Man's been dead, and I remember they burned John Huss after he died and was buried. Dug him up and buried and burned what was left. And then they threw the ashes off of the bridge into the Rhine River. So what do you reckon all of the remains of John Huss are today? How many times they've gone through the food cycle in the ocean? How many places they've washed out all over the whole world? And you say, what? When Jesus comes, my friend, not one hair on the head of John Huss is going to perish. Not one hair not one hair from the Apostle Paul is going to perish. Not one hair of Stephen is going to perish. Nothing will be lost. Nothing. And you say, well, I just don't understand that because the body be gone. Let me tell you something. There was a man in Jerusalem. He was a young man, 33 years old. The tide of politics went against him. And the tide of religion went against him. And they drug him from his place of prayer to the executioner's block. They beat him with a cat of nine tails and with a stick. They put a crown of thorns on his head and they pulled the beard from his face and plucked it out of his skin. They drug him through the streets till he was so weak that he could not carry the cross on which he was going to be impaled. And they took him to a place called Calvary or Golgotha, just outside of Jerusalem. And they put nails in his hands and in his feet and tied him to the tree and hung him upright. And he hung there in all the agony and horror and torture that it entails. And he died. And they took him down, Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus and others, came and took him down from that cross. Oh, by the way, this guy's name is Jesus Christ. And they took him down from the cross and they carried him to a tomb and they put him in. And they locked the tomb shut and they put a seal on it. And they put a garrison of Roman soldiers, four at a time, to watch him and to keep him from being stole away. And yet 3 days later, early in the morning before the first Easter, my friend, there was an earthquake. And an angel came down from heaven and rolled the stone away from the front of that tomb. And that man that was laying in there, without taking off his grave clothes, had a new body, had a glorified body, and disappeared out of the grave clothes and stood outside of the grave. They saw him. 500 people saw him at one time. He appeared to them time and time again with the doors closed and the windows shut and no place to get in. The Lord Jesus appeared to them. He was real. He cooked a breakfast of fish and bread on the fire in Galilee. He ate fish and honeycomb and bread in Jerusalem that they could see that he was for sure alive. And you say, how is that? How is it that his body was dead 3 days, beat to a pulp beforehand, and yet he's standing before them living? Yes, you know what else this precious old book here said? Said the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is also going to quicken, that is, bring life into this mortal body. Hallelujah. My friend, not a hair of this old boy is going to perish. Not a hair of this old boy is going to perish. Not a hair of any Christian is going to perish. My friend, you're going to be preserved throughout the ages. No, not with formaldehyde or glutaldehyde or any chemicals or anything like that. My friend, but by the power of God out of the dust of the ground where you've been laid, my friend, your body will come forth singing and shouting and praising God and giving God the glory. You say, really? Yes, my friend. Paul and Jesus both said, thou fool, don't you know that a grain of wheat cannot bring forth life until it falls into the ground? It has to die. Somebody said, I want to be in the resurrection. Well, then you'll have to die first. That's the only way you can get in the resurrection, is to die. And my friend, by the way, only dead men can see God anyway. You have to die out in here, die out to the flesh. But let me tell you, my friend, that little grain of wheat falls into the ground. And if you went down in a few days and looked at it, you'd see it's commencing to swell up. And then after a while, you'd go down a few more days and look at it again. And you'll notice the old hull on the outside has fallen off. And it's rotten and it's black and it don't amount to nothing. And you go back in a few days, though, and you look at that crown, and you won't have to dig it up to see that seed anymore. because through that dark ground you see that little green shoot sticking up, and you go back in a few weeks, my friend, and that little stalk of wheat's going to be that high, and it's going to have a stalk on top of it that's got more seed in it, and the one seed that you planted, my friend, is going to be dozens and dozens of seed on the top of it. And Paul and Jesus both said, this is the way the resurrection is. This is the way it is with God's people. Yes, my friend, we may lay down this life and we may be put to sleep in the earth of this ground. But my friend, and the voice of the archangel sounds and the trumpet from God sounds in heaven, and Jesus steps across the parapets of heaven and walks down the Milky Way to the earth, my friend, and comes into the atmosphere of the earth. It's going to shake this planet, and everything in heaven and in earth is going to shake. And my friend, Jesus Christ is going to call, and all of the dead. How many of you got somebody you expect to see in the resurrection? You hadn't seen for a while. Hallelujah. Oh, my friend, you got to believe this. You got to believe this. This is the... Hallelujah. This is the central core of the gospel, my friends. This is the central core of the gospel. God Almighty will not let a hair of your head perish. You're safe in the arms of Jesus. You can sing, what a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Because you see, my friend, nothing is lost. Nothing is lost. Did anybody happen to see the funeral service in Atlanta the other day for Mr. Lewis from the House of Representatives? Well, the thing you missed was hearing Whitney Phipps singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." Amen. It is well, it is well with my soul. My friend, you say, can you say that when somebody's passed away? Yes, we can. And my friend, I can say today, as sure as you're sitting here, my friend, you've got an appointment with death. The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and you've got an appointment with the judgment. And my friend, you're going to stand before God one day. But I want to tell you, you don't have to be afraid of it. You don't have to be uncertain about it. If your name's on the book of glory and the Lamb's book of life, and your sins are under the blood of Christ, my friend, they're gone. They're gone. And you, my friend, will not lose a hair of your head. Don't you want to go? You see, are you getting up a load today? You betcha. I'm getting up a load right now. That's exactly what I'm doing. I'm trying to get up a load to go. And by the way, this is the only trip. You're not going to get to be reincarnated in some cow or something. You're not going to get to turn around and try to do it over again. This is the only trip from earth to glory. Roy Acuff used to sing, "Boy, you can tell I'm country, can't you?" Roy Acuff used to sing, "I'm riding on that glory-bound train." Ah, my friend, if you don't have a ticket today, get it punched at Calvary, get it covered by the blood, get your sins gone and come to Him. Amen? All right, Father, we thank You for the service today. Thank You for the opportunity to be here and share the precious Word of God. Thank You, Father, for Your blessings and mercies and grace and all that You've done. Lord, if there's a soul here today not saved, touch that soul. Lord, if there's a soul listening on the radio or on the internet or wherever, and they're not saved, touch that soul. And Lord, bring us healing and bring us deliverance and salvation. Father, we will not fail to praise You, but we give You honor and glory in the wondrous and glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.